Join us here at Last Adam Tabernacle as we bring Christ to the nation.
Praise Jesus. Oh, glory to God. Alana, I'm so happy to see you. Yes. Only Alana, because Alana is our graduate from Children's Church. So when I see our former students, I get so happy. Glory to God. Amen. So Alana, good to see you. Thank you for coming. And please give a hand clap to Rachel. Rachel came and told me that she doesn't know how to pray on the microphone in tongues. Yes, and she was so freaked out. And I asked her, do you want me to help you? She's like, no. Okay, but I told her you're going to be fine, yeah? And I think she did well. So far, she's done well. She started well, and I'm sure she'll finish well. Glory to God. How many of us were here last week? By show of hands, okay. All right, so there is a place there. People who are socially distanced from Sam to Vanessa. This is just for you. We're going to have a recap of what we learned last week. So last week, we basically talked about guarding our hearts and how it is very important to guard our hearts. We reminded ourselves about what Jesus said in Matthew 5:8, that it is the pure in heart that will see God. Blessed are those that are pure in heart, for they will see God. And then we also defined what really the heart is. And we say that the heart is not the thing that is somewhere in your rib cage and beating, but it is that which is fundamentally you. It's more than just your thought life, though, but it is those things that motivate you, your emotions, the things that make who you really are, the fiber of you. And then we said that now, since Jesus said that, it's blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God, we also looked at 1 Samuel 16:7, where God, in choosing a king for Israel, he tells Samuel the prophet that men look on the outside, but God looks on the inside. So we realized last week that God is so interested in the state of our hearts. Glory to God. And we also reminded ourselves that our lives are going to go in the way that our thoughts or our hearts are. Predominantly, that is the path that your life will take. And another thing that reminded ourselves of last week was, for you to pursue holiness or to live a life of righteousness, it is so important for you to guard your heart. Looking at what guarding your heart is, it is that thing. First of all, we said it's a verb, and it's that thing. Hey, I'm becoming like somebody's wife here. So it is that thing, those things that you do to protect something from damage or harm. Okay? So, and the Bible says in Proverbs 4:23-27, that above all else, guard your heart. What does it mean? It means stay on watch, stay awake, don't sleep. Protect your heart from damage. Why? Because from all times, God has showed us consistently in Scripture that He is interested in the state of our hearts first and foremost, because everything we do, our actions come from there. Amen? So I hope that last week I made a very good case for how to guard our hearts. And we say that we can guard our hearts through guarding, first of all, loving the Lord with all our hearts, mind, soul, strength, body, put whatever it is there that makes you. That is the way you should love God. And we also said the other way to guard our hearts is by guarding what we say, the things we say on a daily basis. Words are seeds, the things that we spill over, okay? And we looked at how we use our masks to protect us from COVID. And that is the same way we have to guard the things that come from our lips. Then we also say that we have to guard what we look at. That the eyes are the lamp of the body. So whatever you take in into your life, it goes through your eyes as the doorway. It always starts from there. Then we also looked at guarding our footsteps, the people that we walk with, the company that we keep. We reminded ourselves that bad company corrupts good morals. In between there and the rest, there were so many examples, there were so many stories. I hope I don't have any today. Amen? The life of a Christian is very interesting. So today, we are looking at the benefits of guarding our hearts. You know, it's one thing for me to come and tell you, do X, Y, Z. But if I don't tell you what is in it for you, you're going to stumble along the way. You're not going to do this with full understanding. So what is in it? Why should we? What is the benefit when you guard your heart? What is the benefit of you guarding your heart as a Christian? And I'm hoping that by the end of today, this sermon, you will be motivated and inspired to actually guard your heart continuously. Amen. Father, we thank you for today. Father, we thank you for this time. Lord, we thank you that you've inspired the sermon. You've inspired the worship. Your presence is here. Father, may you inspire the application. Lord, we open our hearts to receive. We open our hearts to receive as hearers and as vessels that you have used to deliver the message. Lord, we bless your name and we glorify you. In Jesus' name we prayed. Amen. So today, like I said, we are going to look at benefits of guarding our hearts. You know, for everything that you do in life, we set goals, yeah? If you don't consistently go back to the reason you're doing something, you'll get derailed along the way because challenges will come. Businessmen always set goals for their businesses. We start off the year with setting goals. For those who had resolutions for this year, how is it going for you now that COVID hit? This is a good time to ask such questions. Yeah? I hope you're not derailed. If you set, let me give you an example, a weight loss. These are simple examples. Weight loss programs. Yeah? Dieting programs. Women, glory to God. Yes, you can set a spiritual goal, by the way, reading the Bible cover to cover. How is it going for you? You could have also set a financial goal. You're saving, setting aside money, saving it towards something. But you have to intentionally remind yourself of, why am I saving the money? Because there are very many things that will come with suggestions of, you know what, you can actually invest here. I know of some investment clubs that start with saying we are going to buy land. For we are going to save money and we buy land for maybe 3 years. Along the way, the investment club that started out with buying land, now they are into maybe Bitcoin. Yeah? Sorry? Second-hand clothes. Yes, so they are into all sorts of things. Or buying stocks on the market. And I'm not saying that those things are bad, but those are things that will derail you along the way. You set a weight loss program. You said, now I'll be doing X, Y, Z. I'm going to look at what I eat. I'm going to go to the gym how many times a day. I'm going to really live a healthy lifestyle. And before you know it, man, the birthdays keep coming, weddings, so people posting Oreos on their statuses. You know, yeah? So before you know it, you start to feel a certain way. Glory to God. So, Oreos are biscuits that that I think are layered with cream in between there. They're just some, yes. So, these are things that come your way that can easily derail you from your target. Now today, I'm here to tell you your benefits. So that when you're guarding your heart every day, remember we said it's an everyday thing, you keep going back to what is in it for me. You know, Christianity can be shrewd like that. You have to reach a point and you're like, nayewa, no mfunida muwa. And I pray to God that you're looking at the Bible as your source to get information of what you're actually benefiting. Amen? So the first, very, very first benefit of guarding our hearts is that it will keep us in fellowship with God. When we guard our hearts, we stay in constant fellowship with the Lord. Amen? This is very key. Remember, God made Adam and Eve for fellowship. God made Adam and Eve for fellowship. Let us look at what happened along the way. Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. God made Adam and Eve for companionship, for fellowship. And what is fellowship? You guys keep hearing our Rachel, Wamai. We call her our because, you know, she's our administrator. She keeps on saying there is koinonia at the back. Let us have the few times we have had cake, cut Eucharist. Yes. She keeps on saying there is koinonia at the back. There is fellowship at the back. But actually fellowship, the Greek word for fellowship is koinonia, which means open sharing, open communication and sharing. And it has an element of consistency. So God, we see in the beginning, God making Adam and Eve for fellowship. God could have fellowshiped with animals. He could have fellowshiped with baboons. He could have fellowshiped with hippopotamuses. But God actually made man and woman for fellowship. But then, you know, along the way, of course, there was the fall. We start from chapter 4, Genesis chapter 4. They had Cain and Abel. And it says, now Adam knew Eve and his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. And she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. And Abel brought the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering. But he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door. And its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. Now Cain talked with his brother Abel, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is your brother? And he said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. And now you are cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. A fugitive and a vagabond, you shall be on earth. And Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Surely you have driven me out this day from the face of the ground. I shall be hidden from your face. I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond on the earth. And it happened that anyone who finds me will kill me. And the Lord said to him, therefore, whoever kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark on Cain, lest anyone finding him should kill him. Let us look at the family of Cain. Now, verses 16 talks about the family of Cain from verse 16 onwards. And then Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Enoch. And he built a city called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. To Enoch was born an Irad begot, and Mehuyael begot, tongue twisters, and Methushael begot Lamech. Verse 19, then Lamech took for himself two wives, and the name of one was Ada, and the name of the second was Zillah. And Ada bore Jabal. He was the father of those who dwell in the tents with livestock. And his brother's name was Jubal. And he was the father of all those who play the harp and the flute. And as for Zillah, she also bore Tubal Cain, an instructor of every craftsman in bronze and iron. And the sister of Tubal Cain was Naamah. And Lamech said to his wives, Ada and Zillah, hear my voice. Wives of Lamech, listen to my speech. For I have killed a man for wounding me, even a young man for hurting me. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, then Lamech 77-fold. Verse 22. A new son is born. Now this is after, of course, Abel has gone. We've known what is happening right now to Cain. And so Adam, the Bible takes us back to their parents. Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son and named him Seth. For God has appointed another seed for me instead of Abel, whom Cain killed. And as for Seth, to him also a son was born, and he named him Enosh. Then men began to call on the name of the Lord. Glory to God. It's good to always read some chapters as they are. Amen. So we are talking about how guarding our hearts maintains the fellowship we have with God. We see from this account of Cain murdering Abel that actually verses 16 tells us that Cain, after receiving the judgment from God, he doesn't repent. Do you ever wonder what would happen if Cain had repented at this point and said, "Oh God, please forgive me, I've killed my brother"? But Cain doesn't repent, and God keeps on seeking him out. Then he goes away from the presence of God. But now they keep telling us about what happened to Cain later on. Cain went on, you people had children, had grandchildren, built a city. That to me sounds like success. He built a city. Okay? And his children were also successful. Okay? I'm seeing prosperity in the life of Cain, but he did not have the presence of God. Now, let us go to verse 25. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son and named him Seth. For God has appointed another seed for me instead of Abel, whom Cain killed. And as for Seth, to him also a son was born, and he named him Enosh. Then men began calling on the name of the Lord. It is so possible for you to actually have a relationship with God, but not have fellowship with him. And there are things on the outside that can, in quote unquote, show that you are really born again, you're having this relationship with God, but when you actually don't have fellowship, but that will not actually stop you from being successful. It is only from the time of Cain. There is no mention of the name of God anywhere in this lineage until Seth is what? Born. And the Bible clearly says, and then the men started calling on the name of God. Amen? Then fellowship was restored. But all throughout, who do you think helped Cain to prosper? Who do you think made him survive? Who do you think protected him? It was God. So it is very possible for us to be in a relationship with God. Yes, we are born again, but we actually have no open sharing with the Lord, and our lives will go on. Now, to an outsider, you look like you have everything together. Amen? Let me bring it to us who are married. It is possible for you to have a spouse. You're married, but you're just serving time. There's you in a relationship, marital relationship, yeah? But you're just serving time, you have no fellowship. And that is where problems are. There's so many people, like they say in Uganda, people just separate. They don't go into divorce. Why? People just, bigwele, you just hear after 20 years that, that one left the man a long time, like 10 years ago, a decade ago. So it is possible that you're together in something, but you just don't have the connection. We are all here as LAT members and some visitors, I hope, but we all don't have that sort of open sharing with each other. There are just few. You know, you can't share openly, have fellowship, that deep connection with everybody. You're not, like people say, you're not pizza to feed everyone, yeah? But we have a relationship that brings us together as LAT members. Now, God didn't make Adam and Eve for that kind of relationship. The Bible clearly says that God used to come in the day and say, but how are you? You know? I actually remember about, we used to say church tumbler. I remember in 2018, when I attended this women's conference, I will never forget, the prophet Sadhu Selvaraj tells us a story, how he communes with the Lord. And man, you guys, eh? I was like, but how do people reach there? He said that he wakes up in the morning. You know, he lives like a monk. So he guards his heart like that. So he wakes up in the morning, goes to town, does his things, goes back home and finds the Lord seated there. And he's like, I've been waiting for you. Where have you been? How are you? The Lord Jesus Christ. Imagine, on a day. Yeah? And you know, it takes being used to and familiarity for you not to get so scared when you see the Lord Jesus Christ. when you're on that level. But you know, some of us we see the Lord in dreams and we're like, "Manange God," you know. But why would you get scared of someone who you have daily fellowship with? This is why God sent his son to restore that which Adam and Eve had in the garden with God. There was no fear. It was communion, it was fellowship. This is the essence of us getting born again. That we may have fellowship with the Lord now and thereafter. Glory to God. But you see, for us to continuously have this fellowship that is unhindered, we have to guard our hearts from external influences. Look at an example still of people who are married. There are things that can steal your friend's attention. Glory to God. There are things that will steal your friend's attention. I have a feeling whoever made football, whoever invented football, and even now, during post-COVID, the simulations of that noise in the stadium just does something to me and steals Sam's attention from me, okay? In that moment, our fellowship is like severed, but we are still married. Glory to God. Then there is people, there is company he keeps that loves football. Glory to God. And they come, "Guys, we go, we watch football, let's catch football, what?" And in that moment, I feel like the fellowship has closed, now it is Arsenal. And it doesn't help that the team loses. Glory to God. So, most times, 1 John chapter 1, verses 3. "That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." Yeah? So John was reminding us of what they had seen, what they attested, Jesus Christ. And he said that his fellowship, their fellowship, he desired that the readers of his letter, the Christians, you and I, would have fellowship with him. But he's very quickly to remind us and says, truly, mumazima, our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. This is someone who had seen Jesus Christ face to face. And he is intent on reminding us that our fellowship is with the Father and the Son. So when we guard our hearts, we continuously foster an environment of having this fellowship. By the way, fellowship with God, to me, is one of the richest privileges that we have on earth. That fellowship with the Father. If it goes away, one day I actually heard a man of God saying, there's a time he was involved in sin, things that were unpleasant to God, and his fellowship with God was affected. And you know what happened? He said that to him, he tasted hell when God just walked away. When God shut the doors on fellowship, he said, "You know what? I don't want anything to do with you until you put your house in order." He said it was a feeling of hell when there is no presence of God in your life. This is the greatest, greatest privilege. And if you forget anything I say today, please remember that this is the first benefit that we are called to have. The benefit of fellowship with the Father. We work for this. There's nothing that can equate to that. Amen? In Amos 3:3, the Bible says that how can two walk together unless they have agreed? It also means that there must be, in this verse, there are undertones of you have to be like, you have to walk like. If you're going to date a girl, if you're going to date a guy, you must have that agreement that is beyond yes, yes, but you must be like that person. You must have a level of agreement. You must have that fellowship for you to walk together. This essentially means that our hearts must be like for the Lord. Amen? Our hearts must be for the Lord. And more especially in these last days when our hearts are being tuwanka wanka. The hearts are being taken away by things. Yeah? And God doesn't want that. We must be like him. But for us to be like him, we have to guard our hearts every day. Amen? Amen. And then the second benefit that is really key in our Christian lives is when we guard our hearts, we are helping the weaker brother. Glory to God. When we guard our hearts, in guarding our hearts, we're helping the weaker brother. Imagine all the things that Imagine if the things that you did would lead someone to stumbling. The Bible tells us in Romans 14:13. Are we there? Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block and cause to fall in our brother's way. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in one of our brother's way. You know, every time those days, I think around S4, and I would read this verse, I'd always think about two people. The guys that drink, then the ladies that dress badly. Isn't that what you thought about when I was reading this verse? But it's also possible that you may not do any of those things, but you actually cause your brother to stumble by the things that you send them, okay? By that courtesy that you will have. Yes, you're not drinking, you're not dressed indecently, but you're causing your brother to stumble. And then I remember in S4 VAC, we came to Namgongo somewhere for a camp, and that is the camp where we signed those forms of Glovimo, Glory for Virginity Movement. Glory for Virginity. We need many of those things now. Glory to God. Glory of Virginity Movement. They talk to us. What made us get so scared of sleeping around, having that lucid behavior? Now, there was a certain girl in the worship team. She had a very nice voice. But, this girl, me, I used to like someone you look at and you admire. First of all, worship team gives you visibility. And now this is like a conference for young people. You guys, she was visible. She would go up there and worship. She would go up there and sing and worship and do that. You know that. And man, for me, as there is four, I'm about 16. She's 16. She seemed to have everything together. But she used to dress a certain way. So one of those days, when she was confronted about the way she used to dress, tight things. So one ka brother Bambi, super spiritual, confronts the lady, the girl, and tells her, but you're causing me to stumble. When you put up your hands, may I stop worshiping? I think this ka boy Bambi again in the conference, yeah? So this girl told him, and I was there, I had the exchange. So this girl told him, excuse me, my salvation is personal business between me and God. Why don't you rule over your spirit? So I'm like, okay. I felt at that point, when I was 16, I felt, wow, what a wise response. So even me, I started, excuse me, my salvation is what? It's personal business between me and God. And I realized that those things happen when Christians are being called to order or they are being called out for their bad behavior. So people don't want to be judged. And so as I grew into salvation, I realized, okay, the guy will be judged on his own. Okay, he's not guarding his heart. But for you, why did you put the stone for him to what? To stumble. Why? Why did you put that stone? Then there are things, as we went on and on, they're like, anyway, you know what? We can dress the way we want out of church. But in church, we can put on, those long things. Now, later on, I was like, but you're saying those things, that you can dress the way you want out of church. But you're the church. I thought that even out there, you still be the church. Glory to God. So if you ever want God to sort your wardrobe out, just remember what I have said. Out there, you are still the church. Single ladies, married women, out there, you're still the church. Not just on Sunday morning when you're going to work. Do not be the one who put a stone in a guy's way. Amen? So there are people who are weak and you have no control over their hearts, but you can help that weak brother. And salvation is so personal, but as public as you can ever imagine. Again, it's like being married. Your status, my friend, is public, but your relationship is private. That is why we wear rings. That is why when you go anywhere on any day, they will ask, take here, married, single, how many children? That is public information. Okay? So yes, salvation is personal. It is between you and God, but it is private. So when you guard your heart from falling into sin and temptation, you do not know who you're helping. The Bible clearly says in 1 Corinthians 6:12 about things that are permissible and beneficial. The Amplified Version. Everything is permissible, allowable, and lawful for me, but not all things are helpful, good for me, and expedient and profitable when considered with other things. Everything is lawful for me, but I will not become a slave of anything or be brought under its power. There are things when you are in a relationship with God, when you are a minister, when you have a certain post in an organization, there are things you are not going to be part of. Not because they are clearly wrong, but because, first of all, it's not helping to you, but for the sake of your brother and your sister. For the sake. People, if you don't have the opportunity to come and minister here on these platforms, those are your opportunities every day to help that weak brother. Amen? To help that weak brother. There are things that I can do as Joanne, and they will stumble people. So I decide, even when I can do them, I'm like, no, I'm not going to do this. You know, last week, Pastor talked about how the heathen look at you. They give you a proposal. When you accept it, they say minus 20. I so believe, by the way, that is what happens. A guy will come, you're married, say things to you. They are saying, Jesus, Jesus, I speak in tongues, what? The guy starts being on your case. That day you say, we go for the date, he'll say minus 30. You know? That day you even enter his car, he says, that one, 60 gone. That day you sleep with him, he won't even show up on the scale. Glory to God. So, you do not know who you're helping. There are people who are in these things for the thrill of it, for the sake of it. You know, someone will come and say, "Kanoka join kayogeza wano," but let me see. Let us see. And that is how crafty and bad the devil is. Because some of these things, you know, sin will promise you things it will not even deliver, and that is what makes me loathe sin so much, yeah? There is a promise, the guy will say, "Angenda kuwa this, I'm going to give you X, Y, Z." And the moment you fall in that sin, that is the end. It will not deliver. If it does, I promise you that sin will not sustain you. I promise you, it's just a matter of time. Okay? So in guarding our hearts, we are helping that weak brother. We are making a statement for the Lord. Let not your brother fall on your account. Because even you don't want to fall on someone else's account. Now why are you making other people fall? Okay? There are things that you will not do just because your brother may be weak. And this has nothing to do with expectations. What does the church expect me to do? Now for me, I left that. Because some people don't even have expectations of ministers in church. It is that bad. There are people, if you continue to do things for people, you realize, okay, I'm doing this thing for Rachel, but she didn't even have that expectation of me. However, when you're like, but God, what is it that you expect me to do? For me, that always puts me back. And I'm like, you know what? Kwale, chija kunuma, but let me see. Submission, kale, tugendera awo, yeah? We are not going to be the reasons why other people stumble on our behalf. Glory to God. Amen. The third benefit is that when we guard our hearts, we practice spiritual warfare. When we guard our hearts, we practice spiritual warfare. Let us look at the breastplate of righteousness. Ephesians 6:14. Stand therefore, having guarded your waist with truth, put on the breastplate of righteousness. Put on the what? The breastplate of righteousness. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we may become the righteousness of God in him. Yes, when we get born again, immediately, when we accept Jesus Christ, immediately we become righteous. But the Bible in Ephesians 6:14 tells us, put on the breastplate of righteousness. What righteousness is this? And this is what I'd like to think the righteousness here in Ephesians refers to. Psalm 106 verses 3. Blessed are those who keep justice and he who does righteousness at all times. In the other versions, it says, blessed are those who keep justice and he who practices righteousness at all times. So there is the aspect of what you have received when you get born again, when you accept Jesus Christ, but there is the other aspect of practicing righteousness. Do righteousness. Okola obutuukirivu. Glory to God. So, when we guard our hearts in saying, no, I'm not going to that place. I'm not going to be entangled in this business. I'm not going to do this. In saying no and guarding our eyes and all these things we talked about last Sunday, we are actually putting on this breastplate of righteousness. A Christian is as healthy as the state of their heart. A Christian is as healthy as the state of their heart. Now, many times, in deliverance sessions, will be there. Bananga, I break, I uproot, I do what? You know, eh? You do all these, eh? Doc Hill, I break. I break, I uproot, I do, I slander, I what? I slash. Doc Hill, I know you remember those things. So, people come here, you speak in tongues, what do you do all these things? But actually, you do not know that in guarding your heart, you're practicing, you're in spiritual warfare. Sometimes that is all you need to do. To say no and walk away. Just say no and walk away. Just assure that guy, assure that girl, and walk away. That is spiritual warfare. That in many ways trumps, by the way, tongues. Yes, you come here speaking tongues, but the actual warfare is outside in the parking lot when that tongue is done. What are you going to do? Does spiritual warfare end here? Or even in the parking lot, it's a continuous process. Sometimes, you guys, I realize that that is spiritual warfare. As you come and break, what, they lay hands on you. Now go out and practice. Put on that breastplate of righteousness. But know that when I'm guarding my heart, when I'm saying no to sin, when I'm saying no, when I'm guarding my eyes and loving the Lord, I am in as much a battle. Because the devil is also battling for my heart. So sometimes all you need to do is switch off the phone. Sometimes all you need to do is get more than 184 contacts that you're going to block. People kept on sending messages during the week. 184? I think you misunderstood me. I didn't block people from contacting me, no. I blocked them from seeing my statuses because then they would end up posting rubbish, sending me rubbish. Yeah? So, I thought I should really clarify that. So that is how I ended up. People are asking me, but how many numbers do you have? Haven't you remained like with two numbers in the phone? So then there were those that were calling to test if they are blocked. So if you can still view my status, you're not among those people that I blocked. So, and in doing some of these things, in guarding our hearts like that and understanding and appreciating that it is spiritual warfare, by the way, you increase the angelic activity around you. You increase the angelic activity around you. If you do these things that lead you into sin, you increase the demonic. So the inverse is true. When you protect your heart, you increase the angelic around you. That is why for some men of God, they always have these experiences and you really wonder, those experiences are not going to come by the things that by doing carnal things or things in the flesh. It is constantly keeping in that environment. Again, looking at Prophet Sadu, he is in no way a standard for us. I'm just using him as an example. This guy took us through his day. And I was like, God, there's just no way I can have a day like that. He wakes up in the morning, goes, gets newspapers, comes back, sits, reads the Bible, prays in tongues. Then he goes out, sees the sun, comes back, finds Jesus waiting for him. They jazz. Then like that, he said he didn't even switch on TV. He gave his life to his, I think he's a eunuch by choice. Yeah? So, he said, yeah, for me, no. I will not do some of these things. And I realized that for you to constantly have angelic activity around you, there are things that you have to do. That environment will not come. You sometimes wonder why you end up in the wrong places. Ask yourself, what did I loan my heart to this morning? Yeah? What did I loan my heart to? What was I paying attention to? Okay, so you want the increase of the angelic around you? Please. There is a time There's a time, I think I was even telling Pastor, there's a time I was involved in, it might be bozi, yeah? Someone was talking about COVID, okay? How guys are being hit by COVID. That was after the death of that gentleman who owns Nexus Lounge. Who owned, yes, Nexus Lounge. So I was involved in that kabozi. So I was there listening intently. But now you see, you really have to guard your ears. Eh? I didn't say any word, you people, but I listened intently. I listened with my whole heart. I was like, yeah, this guy was telling us never muja, but the first word, they got him from the first room. That is where like you're like on level one. Then they take you when things escalate, they take you to level two. Ha, level three, you don't make it out of there. But the guy died like that. How old was he? 41 years. Can you imagine? About 42, about what? He wasn't even 45. The guy was single. The guy died. So that evening, I was in that kabozi. So everyone, they were giving us statistics. What? COVID. Man, you guys, I listened. I didn't say anything. I promise you, because I don't even have that information. I didn't say anything. But it was, my heart was so taken. Now I go to bed. Hey? I go to bed, I'm okay, I think it has passed. I go to bed. You guys, what the devil didn't do to me that day. I had a dream that I had gotten COVID. And I went from level one, level two. I woke up, meanwhile, it was Saturday night, going into Sunday. I was supposed to lead service that Sunday morning. You guys, the dream went on, it even like sound looked very spiritual. Of course, okay, it's spiritual, but bad, devilish spiritual, yeah? So I went from level one, level two. I even saw some people there that I know. I saw my other brother there, man, who were all there dying. I woke up, I told Sam, I've just had a dream. That's a good thing with being married, because you have someone who you can stress at night. Sam, I had a dream. I'm hot. You guys, I was hot. Yeah? I was hot. I had a headache. I was nauseous. I had all the symptoms that they had described of COVID the day before. I had them in the night, and I was not in the dream state anymore. That is how tormenting the devil can be. So Sam is like, hey, where did you go? What? I'm like, man, where were you yesterday evening? I'm like, man, I don't know. He's like, but I think when you went to run, what workout, I think you should stop. I'm like, man, I think I have COVID. Then I tell him, in that state, I tell him, ah, Sam, tomorrow, LT. Well, pressures of ministry. Eleti, please prepare to help me. Please prepare to help me. Sam, he's like, yeah, I'm going to help you. I'm like, now bring medicine. What? He's like, let me pray for you. This is an attack. So we are like that in our bedroom, eh? But then he prays. In those moments, because I know myself very well, I'm like, let the most spiritual one, what? Pray. So Sam lays his hands over me. And he just says a short prayer. I'm like, amen. Yeah. So I go back to bed. But you know, when I woke up from the bed, the most important thing I remembered was 2 weeks before. I had that dream. Pastor had written the word of the week, guard your heart. And it was so bizarre that when I woke up from the dream, in my frantic state, I knew in my spirit, guard your heart. You know how you just feel there's something off here. There's something off. So I remember the things I had listened to that evening. And I'm like, no wonder I gave the devil an inroad to punish me like this. There was really nothing wrong with me. I don't have COVID. You don't have... My point is, when you guard your heart, you're in spiritual what? Warfare. Sometimes that's all we need to do. I should have walked away from such things. Now, when you're prophetic, when you know you have some giftings, you guard them with all jealousy. There's no time to play. Another time, Dr. Dennis and I were involved in some kabozi. About what? About Elvis. Elvis is falling. Ha! We talk. What? This guy does this. We talked our things. Our prophetic. Of course, I think also sin was lacking somewhere. I don't know. But then we go to bed. You guys, eh? I went to bed. Of course, not that we went to bed, but he went. Let me say things the right way. I also went. You know, when you listen to yourself after you've preached, you're like, did I actually say that? He left my home and went to his home. I stayed in mine. So anyway, so the following day, we touch base. Now there were even no recollection. We didn't, because we, when we meet, we share dreams and what, yeah? And so this time, no one even had anything to share. We're like, okay. Now, after like 3 days, then he sends me a message. He's like, you know, I actually had this dream. That night we talked about Elvis. The guy was chasing me. He wanted to finish me off. I ran up. I jumped. What? I told him, Dennis, that even me that night, I had a dream when the guy was literally strangling me. And it reminded me that when you know who you are, when you have certain callings, don't overindulge in some of these things. Glory to God. And the wise will pick what I'm saying. Don't overindulge. Otherwise, if you open up the door for the devil to hammer you just even right through your gifting. Okay? So now, of course, the devil comes to confuse us, to cause fear of the guy who we know that has nothing on us. And it is only after Dr. Dennis told me his dream that I told him. And then we went now to Pastor and reported ourselves. And we're like, you know what, Pastor? We, your sheep, were involved in this. I think now we have really learned what? Our lessons. Glory to God. So don't, when you're guarding your heart, you are involved in spiritual warfare. Sometimes it is you getting out of that conversation. Don't entertain somewhat some texts coming your way. I don't know if you're like me. Sometimes I dream things I see, and they are not even spiritual. I see it, I'm going to dream it. I don't know how people watch horror movies and they don't dream these things. I honestly do not know. Me, I'll watch Lion King, Lion Guard, cartoon, Mufasa, Scar, man. I'll go to bed and I'll dream those things. So what do I have to do? Like a child, I have to guard my heart. I have to guard my heart from all that nonsense. I just watch Mufasa and I'm done. That is why I had rather watch Nat Geo Wild, okay? But Mufasa, those Lion King, which he... I'll dream those things. They'll mess me up. Sometimes you don't even know the source of that dream. You're just tormented. Yeah? So, when we guard our hearts, we increase the angelic activity around us. Likewise, if we don't, we open ourselves, we open those portals for the devil to come and give you a dream and torment you in your dream. You know? So, let us guard our hearts. Then, lastly, when we guard our hearts, another benefit... The last benefit is, it's when you guard your heart, your inner man is strengthened. Glory to God. Yeah? Your inner man is strengthened. I really thank God, by the way, for that guy's ministry. There's a way in which, that pastor, what's his name? Senfuma, Pastor Senfuma. There is a way in which he explains, Omuntu womunda, and he explains it like it's biology. You see yourself going in the inner man, waliwakati kun trouble. He says things and you're like, yeah, I've understood what inner man is. Actually, when I was preparing for this whole, service, I was like, maybe I should actually listen to Omuntu womunda. And I understand, ogumutima, what is it, So anyway, when we guard our hearts, we strengthen our inner man. Okay? We strengthen our inner man. We suffocate the flesh and we feed the spirit. You ever wonder why you are sometimes strong? Like, for example, there are things that you can do to really, to strengthen yourself, your spirit. Of course, we know praying in tongues and fasting. You ever wonder why when you're in periods of fasting and seeking God, you're sharp, man. Your inner man is sharp. You can rightly, you can discern what God is telling you, with or without a dream. You can discern and say, I heard the Lord. So that comes from strengthening your inner man. So when you guard your heart, you are strengthening your inner man. Amen. Galatians 5:17. The flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one to another, so that you do not do the things that you wish to do. Yeah? When you are guarding your heart, you are strengthening the spirit. Remember, we talked about the spiritual warfare. Our spiritual warfare is not against flesh and blood. It's not against your neighbor. It is against those spiritual strongholds, bringing down imaginations that are contrary to the word of God. Now, when we guard our hearts, we are strengthening the inner man in the sense that you're strengthening your spirit and suffocating the flesh. One of the things that I realized is, even when I was saying, okay, how do I guard my heart? When I decide to block that person, naturally as human beings, we look for the next thing to do. So what? Okay, if I block 184 people, so what do I replace that with? So as you strengthen your spirit, you suffocate the flesh. It is something that you have to do. You have to balance it. Don't just suffocate the flesh and you don't strengthen your spirit. Or don't just strengthen your, just, you have to balance, just, how can I say it? As you suffocate one, you have to, I think that's the best way. As you suffocate one, you have to feed the other. Don't just suffocate the flesh and let your spirit not grow. Okay? So as you cut off all those, the bad company, then find good company. All right? As you decide that I'm not going to watch Mufasa, then find something else to watch. Because if you don't, you're going to want something to watch. If you're going to say, okay, I'm not going to drink, then find something else that you can drink. Smoothies are there. All right? Yes, smoothies are there. And I know someone in this church who makes nice ones. So as you suffocate the flesh, strengthen your spirit. And the good thing with strengthening the inner man is that you will discern the voice of God better. Okay? You will put up a better fight when it comes to temptation and sin. All right? So, for example, again during this COVID period, remember that I think I preached that sermon on perfect peace, yeah? And how God was telling us to read His word. You know, I realized that actually the build-up to this sermon started a long time ago. And I think it just dawned on me the other day. The more you allow flesh things to come into your heart, the more you open your heart and you don't guard it, by the way, those things will produce a spirit of fear. Now, during that time, God gave us what I believe is a rhema word. He didn't want His children walking in fear. So He tells them, read my word. When you keep the word, His word in your heart, then you will not move, you won't walk in fear of COVID. So that is the closest example I can actually remember on how it came out so clearly to me that you really have to guard your heart with the word of God so you don't walk in fear. Now, that comes from you being deliberate, you having an inner strength. There is a lady when I was growing up, that lady who told me, yeah, you've heard that story before, the one who assured me of pale pale, the one who revamped my wardrobe without buying for me clothes. Now, that lady had a certain strength. There is something about old ladies, you people, that for me, people, old ladies that have walked with the Lord, that just makes me, like being all of them, yeah? This lady was single, no children. I think she decided not to have children. And for her, she would come every day, Ngamu Sabi, yeah? She would come every day, station herself there. Like, you know, the entrance, she said she would be like there on her mat. Every overnight, we knew she had a mat. Of course, she was old. She had a mat and a cushion. Then she would pray. Oh, when I was single, then she would pray. But you guys, there was something about this lady's spirit man. And in as much as she wasn't perfect, in so many ways, this lady had like a peculiar spirit of discernment. I remember most of the people that she would like discern and say, "We tonaba, or you know those ladies who tonaba kubela ready. You're not yet ready. Mukama tana kufumba," and you're like, "Eh." And you're like, okay, I'm really not what? I'm not ready. But she was right. Like those people who would come and they would want to involve themselves in the worship team. Ah, yeah. She would just say, oh, your tema muleta. Tanavo, your taja. Then she would say, what? Ani? Oyagala kufumbidwa. She's not here. Even young men would go to her. I think that's why the Bible says that old women teach their young what? How to live quiet lives and in submission to their wives. Even young men would go and say, "Banejaja, this is what I was planning. What do you think?" She says, She wasn't even, she wasn't seeing things. She says, then she goes, praise. And she comes and she says, Oyo, I am Balobo Pali. So, this lady had strength of, she had a peculiar inner man strength. She would discern God without, I think even me, she discerned God. Because I think if it wasn't for her, I wouldn't even be talking about dress code so confidently. I look forward to an opportunity where a pastor will give me to design uniforms. I'm still talking. So to design uniforms for the worship team. But yeah, somebody is not going to give me the opportunity. But this lady, by the way, I don't ever remember seeing this lady's hair. Never. I never, because she would always, you know, have something. She would, you know, those bazookufu. I'd never seen her hair, but I remember 7 years in that church, that lady would go and sit there. I found her old, left her old. And she had that peculiar inner strength that she would tell you something and you're like, yeah, banange kali. She would easily discern the voice of God. At that time, by the way, the things of the prophetic were not, for me, when I was growing up, they were not as they are right now. So she would always discern the voice of God, where the church is going. Of course, there was an issue there when you let the old lady decide where the church is going. But she was spot on very many accounts. She may have made her mistakes, but she was so spot on. Now, how did that come? She used to really, really talk to. In fact, her sessions were the most boring. You know, those we used to have after church by youth. What did you call it? Ba youth ba glovimo. Abavubuka, yes. Abavubuka, if you're mchiga emnieto, yeah. Abavubuka, we used to have olukungana abavubuka meeting yaba singles after church. Then there's a time she would have sessions. You guys, eh? From what na ye mwete mwambala mwagila mchalo, you can't even interpret because in our church, we used to have, there were interpreted services, eh, sermons. Hey, gwe, oliwano, oliyawo, musumbabu waba, you get eh? You know those, you have to, man, she would make you stand in the corner and you're interpreting. You're this end, brother Musumba, eh? Let me stand here. You're here, and you just interpret from one place. Hey, kakati, come on. Then the Musumba is what? Moving up and down, but you interpret, I tell women, eh? You interpret from the corner. Eh, mukama, what you are gamba? Then you read the chawandikiwa. But you know what? I realize now as I grow that there was wisdom in that. Okay? Because you cannot afford to jump up and down with the pastors of those days. When you're a woman, I say you jump up and down, I'm a baby, what so should you know what? So she would say, muimirire, eh? That is the corner. For the person who is going to interpret, if you're a woman, stand there in the corner. If you're a man, you stand in the other corner. Wabela wawa mafuta what? So she was right. She was right in some of her things in her old age. And now I appreciate them more. Now I know why. Those days they say, but why do people do things a certain way? Now, Bambi, I don't question. Yeah. Now I really, really appreciate that. So when your inner man is strong, you want to be old in, you want to be old like that lady and rightly discern the voice of God, please work on the inner man. Remember that as you guard your heart, you are strengthening your inner man. So briefly, today we looked at the benefits of guarding our hearts, that when we guard our hearts, we maintain fellowship with God. Two, it helps us to strengthen our inner man, your spirit man. Number three, when you guard your heart, you're practicing spiritual warfare. Yeah, you're not like that guy who is at the beach, eh? Pastor told us about a guy, spiritual warfare, beach, what? It's not bad to go to beaches and see, but certainly, eh? Yes. Then lastly, when we guard our hearts, we help our weak brothers. We help our weak brothers. Amen? Please remember those benefits as you start the week. Thank you.
Last Adam Tabernacle, Christ for the nations.